Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have not given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel is a familiar one, isn't it? How many times have you heard this over the years? Yeah, that many times. One of the problems with stories like this is that you've heard it so many times that you stop listening. And so my challenge is to find a way for you to listen to it and to hear something new in this old familiar story. When you hear this story, who do you identify with most? Just out of curiosity.
The oldest.
You identify with the oldest. Does anyone identify with the younger son? Or with the father?
Or with the sheep.
Or with the fatted calf.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch. So we've heard most of the story from the younger son's perspective. So what I want to do is to tell the story again, a couple of times, from the perspective of the older son and the father. Remember how this all begins. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so he told them a story. there is no way that I'm going into this feast. Do you understand the shame that has been caused to this family? To go and ask for his inheritance while our father was still alive is the same as to say, Father, I wish you were dead. And so he became dead to me as well. Now, I've worked hard all my life, knowing that I'm going to inherit most of this property. So I know I'd better take really good care of it and work very hard. But this younger one, he's always been headstrong, always wanting to be independent. And when he went to our father and asked for his inheritance, I know I should have argued about it. But instead, I didn't. And our father did the unthinkable and actually split the property between us during his lifetime. When all the law says that that is a foolish thing to do, never give your children property while you're still alive. But even then, when you divide the property that way, the understanding is that you know it's yours, but you don't do anything with it. Not until it really becomes yours. And what did he do? He went out and sold our land. He sold our flocks. He sold our herds. What he thought was his portion. But think of it. Think of how over the years that land, those herds, those flocks would have contributed so much to our wealth. And instead, he liquidated his assets, turned it into cash, and went to I was told it was to some distant land. And over the years, reports would come by that he was having these lavish parties. People were flocking around him, of course, because he had money. We really didn't know what became of him, and I really didn't care. Because he was dead to me. He was dead to us. And so I continued to work the land, as I always have, dutiful older son that I am. And one day when I was out there, working as always, just slaving away under the hot sun, I heard an unfamiliar sound, very strange, the sound of music and partying. We haven't heard music and partying since he left. And so I had to ask one of the servants, what is going on over there? I couldn't believe what he said. He said, your brother has come back. And I said, I have no brother. He said, your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf. Because he's got him back safe and sound. I was horrified. He's throwing a party for this one who has squandered our fortune? He's throwing a party for him? He's killed the fatted calf, the one we were saving? And so I became very, very angry, understandably angry. How could he do something like this? How could either of them do something like this? And my father came out and began to plead with me. He told me that I should go in and celebrate with everyone else. The whole town is there celebrating. And I'm thinking, how much money is this going to cost? The fatted calf, all the food, all the wine, it's coming out of my... And I refused. Instead, I said, listen, for all these years, I have worked like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed a single one of your commands, not even one, and you have never given me so much as a young goat in order to celebrate with my friends. But then this son of yours comes back, who is... he's wasted his money on, I don't know, on prostitutes, on dissolute living, on you know, wine and song, whatever. He comes back, and you killed the fatted calf for him? This is ridiculous. And my father said, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. That he was lost and has been found. We don't have to celebrate. Why should we celebrate when he comes back? Think of the shame that he's brought on this family. I'm not going to celebrate. I'm going to go back to work. Now I have more costs that I need to recoup for this party. My younger son has always been headstrong. But I was stunned when he came to me one day and asked me for his share of his inheritance. It's not something that is normally done. But I agreed. And I divided the property between my two sons, my older one, my younger one. The older one gets twice as much as the younger. So the younger son had his one-third of my estate. I wasn't sure what he was going to do with it. I wasn't expecting that he was going to sell the land and the flocks and the herds. Nor was I expecting him to leave. It took him a few days in order to convert everything to money. And he took off. Didn't even look back. And I stood and watched him until his figure faded away in the distance. But in my heart, I wanted him back. My heart was broken. And all I wanted was for him to return. On occasion, we heard reports. I was hoping he was doing well, that he was taking his inheritance and making his fortune, that he would come back glorious, wealthy, and would repay me what. But I waited and waited, and no sign of him. For years. No sign, no word. And one day, I was looking out way at the edge of town. I saw a figure. Bent over in rags. Barefoot. And I looked and my heart leapt because despite his appearance, I knew who he was. And I know I'm not supposed to run, but what else could I do but run and meet him before he could even reach town? I ran and met him. Made sure that no one in the town would do anything against him for the shame that he brought on us all. Old as I am, somehow I made it to him first. And he started saying something about not being worthy to be my son, but I cut him off. Because he's always going to be my son, no matter what happens. So I threw my arms around him and kissed him. And the servants finally showed up, and I told them what to do. To go and get my best robe, the one that I wear for festivals and ceremonies. And to get a pair of sandals to put on his feet. To get the family ring and put it on his hand. So that everyone will know that he is my son. and that I'm removing the shame that he placed upon us all. And I told them to kill the fatted calf, the one that we've been saving for a special occasion, because what can be more special than the return of this one who was lost, this one who's now been found, this one who was dead and is now alive again. We invited everyone to make sure that everyone knew that my son was back and restored to his position. In the midst of the festivities, I noticed that my older son was not there. I went out to him and asked him to please join in the celebration. Everyone's there. Everyone's feasting and rejoicing. Please come in and be part of the celebration. Instead, he became angry with me. He told me about all of his hard work over the years, and I acknowledge that. He's always been a faithful son. Always. He's never disobeyed. He's worked hard. And it's true, I've never given him anything to celebrate with his friends. But we had to celebrate. He started telling me that this younger son was no longer his brother. He was still dead to him. He started telling me his thoughts of how the property was spent. And all I could say was, you have always been with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. We had to. Because this brother of yours, this son of mine, was dead and has been restored to life. He was lost and has now been found. Jesus told this story because the tax collectors and sinners were drawn near to listen to him. Those who were lost, those who were dead to their family members, were coming, listening to him and eating with him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. And just as the father welcomed his younger son, as he saw him far away on that road coming home, so our God welcomes those who return to him. Do we have the hardness of heart of that older brother, the one who truly is lost because he does not understand the grace and mercy of the Father, that he does not understand that it is the Son who is found, and it is the Father who is the prodigal, the wasteful one, wasteful with extravagant love and grace and mercy to all who take that journey home. Amen.